On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Welcome to the stage, your host of the Bechdel cast, Caitlin Durante and Jamie Loftus.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. Thank you for coming to our live show. At the Boston Comedy Arts Festival, thanks for having us here, and to Improv Boston.
Yeah, we were happy to be here. I'm doing a good job so far.
You're killing it. I'm killing it.
We're very sleepy.
We're really sleepy. I'm delirious. Less than 24 hours ago, we recorded another live episode.
Well, actually, like 12 hours
ago,
we recorded an episode in
New York City. Ever heard of it?
bitch. <They're... laughs> And then we slept next to each other on a coach bus this morning. It was very intimate.
Yeah.
It was nice.
At least we don't have to share a mic this time.
Last night we were scissoring each other in order to share a mic. It was very cute. People loved it. I suggested, what was the name change? Oh, the Scissor Friends. That's the new We're scrapping the Bechdel cast.
Yeah.
Who has listened to our podcast before? Okay. Round of applause.
Cool. Last time we did our first live episode here in April, and everyone was like, "What is this?"
Yeah,
like everyone had wandered into the wrong room.
Has anyone not heard an episode of the Bechdel cast before? Ooh.
Oh, I brought my harpoon gun. Good. Let's just... Pew! Okay. That's okay. We'll explain to you what it is.
We sure will. The Bechdel cast is inspired by the Bechdel test. It's a test that requires that a movie or a TV show or anything with characters in a story has two women. They have to speak to each other. Those two women characters have to have names, and their conversation has to be about something other than a man.
This
a
never
lot
happens.
Of movies don't pass the Bechdel test.
It sounds like a joke, but it is just tragically 90% of movies in existence.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So we're here to talk about the portrayal of women in movies and how it's shitty and how it should be better.
We're the Scissor Friends.
And then we're talking about a specific movie today. Also, last time we recorded a live episode here, we were like, hey, has anyone seen Dirty Dancing, the movie we're talking about today? And everyone's like, nope.
What is this? What's the movie? We had some real feral degenerates here last time. So if you're a returning audience member, what's up? You made it real weird last time.
So today we're talking about Men in Black. By round of applause, who has not seen Men in Black?
Calling out my name.
We're about to spoil every second of it. So sorry.
One of those movies that is, again, on television
all
1,000% of the time.
Yeah.
Really quick, I just wanted to check in with our usual stuff at the top.
Yes.
Alfred Molina, check. For people who listen, we do have an update on Alfred Molina. We didn't talk about it at the Scissor Friends last night.
Wait, what is it?
So we normally work with our producer Aristotle, and he was near Alfred Molina a couple of days ago.
Yes. And it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
I think
he's gonna be near Alfred Molina on 9/11.
Never forget.
Alfred Molina probably doesn't forget 9/11. One of the many amazing qualities he has.
I sense a lot of confusion from the audience. Why are they talking about Alfred Molina so much on a podcast about the portrayal of women in movies?
Because Alfred Molina, he's an ally.
He's
100% our greatest ally, probably. He's also a master of his craft, and we just respect what he does so much. Beginning with the Royal Shakespeare Company in the late 1970s.
Hey, let's introduce our guest.
I'll check in a little later.
Okay. I'll allow it. Yeah, without much further ado, so we have, every episode we talk about a specific movie, and we have a guest to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we need it, but no. We're happy to have our guest here tonight.
Our guest today, we don't need him! Thanks for volunteering your time, you dumb bitch!
Anyway, he's a friend of ours. He's a friend of the cast. He's so funny. He's a local comic here in Boston. Give it up for Sam Ives! Woo!
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love how it just started with, we just came on to tell this guy we didn't fucking want him. We did not need him.
Like, we're just saying we could do it alone. Thanks for being here. We've never had a live podcast with a live man before.
You true.
Most of our male guests are cadavers. But we do, when we record in studio, and in our studio, we're millionaires. When we record in studios, we usually restrain the male guest, depending on how threatening they seem.
Yeah, with any assortment of bungees, chains, anything like that.
Sam's a bungee guy. He's not going to hurt us.
I'm easily the weakest man in this block.
I don't think Sam could escape the bungees. I think we'd be safe with the bungees.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for being here and for bringing us the movie Men in Black. Tell us why. Is there any special reason you chose this movie? What's your history with it? How many times have you seen it?
I believe in aliens because of this movie.
Okay.
I bought into it. I saw it and I was like, that seems accurate. And I just wanted to share that.
So this is more of like an indoctrination thing.
Someone told me I could talk about a movie for an hour and I was like, oh, and I could convince people that aliens exist? Done.
Great. Well, I'm really excited for what's to come. Honestly, I think there probably is. I mean, the universe is infinite. Here's what happened. All right, let me start over.
Well, you know what happened?
Yeah, I know what happened.
I've been looking for these answers.
Start at the beginning.
When did you first see the movie?
I saw it. 96 when it came out? I think it came out in 96?
Nope.
97?
Nope.
97. 97.
Oh. Thank you, Jamie's mother, for clarifying.
She could not have placed herself in a more prominent place. She basically has a spotlight.
Did you know that beforehand?
Absolutely, I saw it in 97. It wasn't around in 96, dude.
Like, it's just your life was 95, skip 96, went straight to 97.
So you saw it early on.
So when it came out.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Oh, multiple times. I loved it. I used to, when my friends, I used to try to zap them.
But like memory erase?
Yeah, what's the thing called?
Neuralizer.
The neuralizer, yeah. I tried to neuralize my friends. And
didn't they have, that was neuralize mode. Don't yell at the audience.
I love how interactive of a show this is so far.
It's a live event, it's dynamic. There's neuralizers, didn't they have them at like Burger King or something? There was like a Burger King and Men in Black toys that I very specifically remember wanting.
It came with that, and it came, and then there was a little alien from the video.
Yeah!
From the music video.
Oh.
It was that alien.
First of all, I love that like there was just an era with movies with family-friendly rap theme songs. This is one of the best. It's not better than Wild Wild West, the theme song.
Wild Wild West is fantastic. I loved LL Cool J, yeah. Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
I'm a shark fin. The song is called Shark Fin. Have you heard it?
No. I have no idea. What is it?
My ladies love cool jams. It's called I'm a Shark Fin.
I'll check it out.
One of my favorite movies, Master of Disguise, they failed ended Dana Carvey's career. Dana Carvey is amazing. He's still alive today, given the fact that this movie exists. But there was a rap theme song for that. But no one saw the movie, and the song was garbage. So
yeah,
I'm always disappointed when a movie has a bad rap song. Like that was the reason why I didn't like Carol.
Yeah.
The rap song in Carol was terrible.
It just, like, didn't, yeah.
It didn't
just
fit the movie. Kate Blanchett can't rap. Can't rap.
Could you imagine? I'll agree with that video. Kate Blanchett had a rap video.
I think we nailed it, guys.
There is, yeah, you gotta go. I mean, I think that Carol's gonna have a second coming. If you run her out for Kate Blanchett.
Featuring Rooney Mara.
And with the same little alien in the Men in Black.
The Men in Black alien still in it.
Hey, speaking of Men in Black, the movie we're gonna talk about. Oh, yeah. When did you first see it, Jamie? Did you see it with your mom in 1997 when it came out?
Well, I certainly didn't see it in 1996.
I didn't. I think I was too young to see it when it came out, but I remember watching it with my cousin on VHS probably sometime in the early 2000s. And I remember seeing the Burger King toys and not knowing what they were, but being like, well, aliens and ghosts are for sure real, so I'm going to want, like, I wish I could get in the ground floor of this. Unfortunately, I don't have all my teeth. So wait, so you also are on the pro aliens exist side of things?
I feel stronger about ghosts, but I do believe in aliens, yes.
I mean, we've already talked about the movie Ghost, so yeah, agree
that
they are real.
That ghosts exist.
Yeah. What I was gonna say is that I saw this movie in 97 when it came out. Just to keep clarifying, that's the year that it did come out.
We'll
and
keep checking in.
I was
changing.
I was 11, and I had an existential
You're having one right now.
An out of body experience? Is that what you're about to say?
I was having an existential? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That's our girl.
Crisis. Because at the end of the movie, the galaxy that was on Orion's belt, and then it's like, you zoom out, and it's all fuck, and it's big aliens playing with a marble case full of little galaxies. And I was like, my life is so insignificant. And I didn't believe in God after that.
So it didn't convince you aliens existed, but it did rob you of faith.
Correct. Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
I used to think that every time I saw Marvels, I was like, oh, I have Earth. I thought big.
I think that that's a very interesting male-female perspective.
Right? Yeah.
Where Kim's that? Like, I don't exist. And Sam's like, I own
I
it.
Am not. Should I do the recap?
Let's do the famous.
So Men in Black, we open on Tommy Lee Jones and his older
hot
white man partner. And then they're not hot. That was hot. And they're fighting aliens, because guess what? Aliens live among us.
Not hot.
But they work for this entity called, what is it?
Section 6.
Section 6.
Because in the beginning, the Border Patrol keeps going, there is no Section 6.
You're right. Struggling with talking, too. I feel better.
I think that's what it was.
Yes,
yeah,
anyway.
I think you're right.
They're the Men in Black. The older white guy is like, I'm getting too old for this shit. And then, so they need to recruit and train a replacement. And meanwhile, Will Smith is an NYPD police officer. And
in plain clothes, like really stylish.
Yeah, like orange baggy windbreaker pants.
Like
yeah.
Stolen from the Fresh Prince set.
He looked like the fifth bad boy. Like, like it was like Diddy, Mace, Biggie, Will, so four.
So, like, if one of them got sick, he could just sub in.
Yeah.
Biggie did.
He's an undersick.
I meant he died. I'm sorry, Biggie died. Did I spoil that? That's what happens to the end of Notorious.
Anyway, so so Will Smith is chasing a dude, and he's also he's kind of hot.
Hot.
Yeah, but he's also an alien, and his eyes blink that way.
Oh, no, guy running away, not hot.
Oh, well, Will Smith,
hot.
Oh, yeah. Will Smith, hot.
I was going to get into an argument. I was like, are you serious?
I thought you were talking about the alien. So they like, pinpoint Will Smith as a potential, like, ooh, maybe he could be a Men in Black. And then...
That's like a different thing.
So then Tommy Lee Jones is like, yeah, how about him? And they, like, recruit him in, and then they train him, and he's like, oh, wow, there's aliens. Okay, I'll just give up the life that I had before, which, like, really wasn't much of one.
Yeah.
He had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
He just had that orange jumpsuit.
So then there's this bug who lands on planet Earth, and he's causing all kinds of mayhem around New York City. Ever heard of it? And... Then they're like, we gotta get this bug. And meanwhile, there's a galaxy on a little cat's collar. And they're like, but what is Orion's belt? That doesn't make any sense. I'm doing an excellent job in this recap. You're welcome. And so they have to catch the bug. Bug's after this galaxy.
Is Vincent D'Onofrio the bug?
Bug takes Vincent D'Onofrio's skin and wears it.
Okay. So really quick, Vincent D'Onofrio hot.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure I was keeping up.
Right.
I used to love making that face, the face that he makes. Give me my cat! I want my cat! Give me my cat! I just realized it's a podcast. They can't see that face. I was a dead on face! I made the face!
I would not have guessed you could have done an amazing Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
But you put in the time.
Yeah. Wait till we do Full Metal Jacket. Okay, the wait.
Wait, who would you be in Full Metal Jacket? That character? Or that, yeah, I've never. I know. Anyway, so they get the bug in the end.
Wait, there's a lady at one point.
There, you're right. That's not what this podcast is about. Right, so all these dead bodies are turning up that are actually alien dead bodies, and this coroner, she's like working at the morgue, and what are these alien dead bodies? And then they flashy thing her all the time, which is low-key gaslighting.
Oh, we'll talk.
Yeah. And she's cute.
Hot.
She's hot. And yeah, so she's a character. The end,
but that's about all we know. Oh, and she's also horny.
Yeah.
She's hot and she's
or at least pretends to be. It's confusing.
She points at her vagina at one point in the movie and is like, just kidding.
Yeah. We'll talk about that scene.
It's a poorly written joke. It's unclear, like, did she mean it or did she just point at her vagina by mistake? I know, I find myself doing that all the time. In professional situations, I'm constantly like, I'm so sorry, that was involuntary. It's just a condition of being a woman in the workplace.
Yeah, confirm. Yeah.
I was very... There's a scene in the beginning when you first meet her where Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, they walk in, and... She's talking to just Will Smith, and Tommy Lee Jones is looking at one of the bodies, and she says to Will Smith, she says, you know what I like to do when it gets really late here? And then Tommy Lee Jones cuts in. But when I was a kid, I thought, because I didn't understand, like, sex, I thought she just, like, lit the bodies on fire. I had no idea it was, like, a sexual thing. I was... so confused. I was like, why aren't they addressing that in the rest of the movie? And now, as an adult, I'm like, is she saying she fucks the body?
Well, that, I don't know what is she saying?
Yeah, what is she saying?
I thought she was saying
she does something unrelated to the bodies. But now, since we've opened up that discussion, what is she doing with those bodies?
Is she robbing them?
Oh, maybe she's harvesting their organs. That's savvy. That would be a more interesting character than she is.
Spin off.
She's selling that. Yeah, the
women in the black market.
I don't know. I thought, like, maybe she. They can't be saying she fucked the bodies.
That's so weird.
There's no way. There's a lot of sexual innuendos in this movie that don't quite land. Like, they're just like, there's a little uncanny valley, like, what?
Yeah.
What are they saying? Do they like each other? Like, it's unclear.
Yeah, is this a romantic plot line? And then she's so undervalued
She's not in the sequel either.
No.
Right, well, because they set up at the end, because, like, Tommy Lee Jones is like, I wasn't training a partner, I was training a replacement. And then he retires.
Which is crazy, because it's Will Smith's second day.
Right.
Crazy.
I think you got it.
You got this. Yeah, so he retires, and then Will Smith and Dr. Weaver, the coroner, is like, I've been around aliens enough. One day's worth, that's all you need. And she ends up being his partner, but it's set up so that, like, oh, she's gonna be in the sequel, and it can't be called Men in Black anymore. Psych! It's still two men in the sequel, and she's never heard from again.
Yeah, he flashy thinged her.
My theory is she turned 40, and they're just like, well, because we all know how much people love casting women over 40. Well, they don't. It does
not.
We don't do it. Let's get Tommy Lee Jones' body double. Let's have him. Tommy Lee Jones hot in this movie. I'm sorry. It's true.
Is he hotter than Tony Shalhoub's little head? His little head.
Just because Tony Shalhoub cannot get any hotter, Tony Shalhoub's little head.
Yeah.
Shout out to all. So if we're saying what part in this movie would Alfred Molina have had? Because I'm sure he was offered a part in this. But he's a talent. Could he have done Shalhoub's part, or could Shalhoub's part only have been done by Shalhoub?
I wouldn't have recast Tony Shalhoub, no.
Who could we... You know, he could have been Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes,
Could have been Tommy Lee Jones. Could have been Rip Torn.
Could have been Rip Torn.
He could have been...
Yeah.
I think it would have been a good set.
Get out, Rip Torn. I always confuse Rip Torn, who's someone I could go either way on, with Meatloaf, with... who's someone I feel very strongly about. Here's what Alfred Molina might have been doing instead in 1997. He could have been filming Boogie Nights.
Okay.
He could have been filming Anna Karenina. He's so versatile. He could have been preparing for his role in Dudley Do Right.
The Brendan Fraser one?
I think the Brendan Fraser one.
Oh, is there another Dudley Do Right? It is Brendan Fraser.
Shout out to Brendan Fraser.
I think
Kaylin's gonna murder us.
I feel great. I do want to talk more about... So there are two female characters in Men in Black, and just those two and no others.
In New York City, yeah, where there's two women total.
Right. One of them is Vincent D'Onofrio's wife.
Right.
Her name is Beatrice.
Beatrice.
Beatrice?
Beatrice. I'm just repeating what I think you're saying.
Stop gaslighting Caitlin!
Yeah, Beatrice, and she has very minimal screen time, as does the other female character, Dr. Laurel Weaver. I'd say between the two of them, they might have an added total of, like, 20 minutes of screen time.
That feels generous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's really... When they say Men in Black...
They're not fucking around. Something I wanted to point out about that, movies with, like, men or boys or, like, men in the title, are always action movies, superhero movies, exciting movies about people kicking ass. Examples, Men in Black, X-Men, Spider-Man,
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
No
too.
Country for Old Men. All the President's Men.
The other
a few
guys.
Good men. Yeah. The nice guys.
The nice guys.
Yeah, they're like, woo, what fun movies. And then movies with like women or girl in the title are like dramas. And like,
Little Women.
20th century women. The
girls.
End.
Girls.
Mean Girls.
Mean
Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Just a really good point that I'm making.
Spice Girls.
Spice.
I just want to participate.
Check out our Spice World episode of the cast.
No girls. Sorry.
Girls Trip.
Girls Trip. Yeah.
Girls
Trip. Oh, yeah. Recent movie.
Yeah, generally they're more about like interpersonal relationships. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying like there's a disparity between the two types of
action
movies.
Versus
yeah.
like a fluffy or it's about women connecting. Hate it. Kill an alien already.
Right.
Women.
So that's just something I wanted to share with you all, and you're welcome.
I mean, it's tricky because this is maybe the millionth time on this podcast that we've come up against a summer blockbuster movie that is pretty well loved. I still enjoy this movie. I think it's a fun plot hole ridden romp.
Yeah.
In the galaxy, it's fun. The theme song is dope. But all these movies have the one female character whose main thing is, you know, even if she is, like, I guess this movie's credit, which I hesitate to say, but, like, you know, she's at least has a job. And
she's a woman in STEM.
She's a woman in STEM. She appears to know how to do her job until Tommy Lee Jones keeps gaslighting her. That's upsetting.
You mean by erasing her memory?
Yeah, neuralizing
yeah.
with the
right.
thing he got from Burger King. but she's a character. She's not given a lot of screen time. But it's the problem we always come up against, which is like there's no one for her to talk to. There's no other female character.
No one for her to talk to.
For her to even be in a scene with. Like,
right.
It's just, yeah.
She's surrounded by dead people.
She's, yeah.
They don't even
true.
Give her alive people to... They're not even alive. There's nobody alive.
Well,
what is dead?
She apparently works with David Cross, who's like the receptionist at the morgue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He fucks the bodies.
Yeah.
Someone's got to fuck the bodies. Rule number one of the morgue.
Someone has to.
Someone's got to be fucking these bodies.
Right.
It's your first day, kid. Get in there.
When we see, like, all the recruits, whenever they're recruit, because they're like, oh, these Navy guys, these Army, like, these military men, all the people that they're considering for the new Men in Black job, all men, not a woman even considered. You see the scene when we are first introduced to, like, the MIB headquarters.
Yeah. Which
almost...
basically still kind of looks like the Guggenheim Museum. We see the Guggenheim Museum at the beginning, you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you see MIB, you're like, is it the same? Is it a back room? Anyways.
Oh, it could be. There are a few women in that scene, but it's largely men there. All the aliens we see... all men.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
lady. Except for, like, you see, like, a screen in Will Smith's teacher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apart from that, or apart from, like, people who don't have any lines or just, like, only sort of seen in the background, all the aliens with speaking roles go to men. Big problem in Hollywood, you know?
We're our female alien protagonists, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Over 45.
Exploring
queer their sexuality.
Aliens of color.
Yeah, where are they?
That's like Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Hey!
Oh, God! What's that?
This is why we let the guests talk. There's, I have something I'd like to address.
Please.
Okay. It's another trope in mostly 90s era movies, something that terrified me as a child and I still find horrible, is there's a little pug in this movie, a little pug informant. They make his mouth move like a person.
Yeah.
So that it's like he's a little person.
Oh, that's the problem you have with it?
I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I find it scary. There's movies where it's, because, you know, like, fast forward 5 years, it's CGI. This is some sort of scary practical effect.
Oh, it's CGI.
It looks real.
You think they like hooked up like wires to the dog's mouth?
Or they fed the dog peanut butter like in Mr. S?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wire.
Yeah, see? See? Your mom gets it.
My mom knows all about scary.
She hated Mr. Ed?
It freaked her out.
I don't like when animals talk like they're people. They're not people. There's that movie Cats and Dogs. That one is the worst because it's all just like Nathan Lane's voice coming out of a cat. And you're just like, no, like it's just scary. It's not, it should be a cartoon. also, male dog. There we go. It's back to theme.
Yeah, that, again, where are all the female dogs with speaking roles in Hollywood?
That dog is so, like, it's...
Wait, what about, like, scary. Babe?
Sweet. Scary!
Sweet. No!
Scary!
That's nuts.
Babe scared you?
Scary, yeah, the mouth. Like, well, because they're not, like, really blinking, and you're just like, what is going on? And their eyes are glazed over because they're kind of, like, edited in post-production, I would imagine. I think about it a lot, but they're not blinking, and their eyes are, they kind of have, like, here's something I find scary in real life, is when you meet someone, they're like, meet my dog, and you're like, that dog has people eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does that dog have a person's eyes, and where did he get them?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, like, one of, that's why I believe in aliens. I think it's like an Edgar situation where they take a dog's body and it's like a Vincent D'Onofrio dog.
There's a little dog.
I want dog food. This is like Vincent D'Onofrio dog.
People listening, he's doing a very good
job. A few more points I wanted to make about Dr. Weaver's character. Her dress is insanely short. Which is an okay thing if you're a woman and you want to wear a short dress. That's cool. But
awesome.
They pretty much...
Doesn't feel appropriate for a morgue.
Not for the morgue. Not really any workplace. So she's like overly sexualized for no reason.
Right.
They develop her character so poorly that she doesn't even get to have a reaction whenever the dude's face opens up and there's like a little tiny alien in his head. She's just like... Like, how is she not like, what the actual fuck? Like, she has no reaction to it. And then, until, like, maybe 30 seconds later, and she's like, I knew it! That is an alien, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like, what did you think was happening?
She's, yeah, I mean, and that's another, like, female blockbuster character thing, is, like, her character changes from moment to moment, depending on what the scene requires.
Right.
Like, that shitty, weird, confusing... There's a scene, I forget what the exact exchange is, but she's talking to Will Smith, and she's... points to her vagina, and then he's like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, no, I was pointing at the floor. Like, and that serves no purpose in the context of her character. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just a bad joke that, like, who wrote this? Oh, I bet it's,
Ed Solomon.
So Ed Solomon's jerking off at his house, like, wouldn't this be funny? If I make a pretty lady point at her coochie, like, there's... It's just like a gross throwaway thing that it's like, oh, here's something I could do with the female character I forgot to write.
Right. Well, that scene, before that one, the bug comes in and, like, throws her all around, like, pretty violently. It's, like, pretty alarming to see, like, how much violence is inflicted upon her. And then he captures, or he's, like, still kind of fighting her, and then Will Smith comes in. And he's like, well, I better hide under this cart.
Yeah.
And, like, holds her ankle, and she's like... you need to help me with this. And Will Smith's like, damn, girl. I gotta drive, though. It's not a male-female. I just gotta drive. That's not my... And it's like, what?
Dead on Will Smith.
Thank you.
Dead on. I was like, is he here?
We should have him sing our theme song.
Yeah, oh my god. After that, we see whenever, like, Will Smith is like, oh, I get what's happening. And he's like, if you had been coming on to me like a drunken prom date. And she's like, oh, whenever a woman shows any sign of sexual independence or something like that, which is like one of those lines that we talk about where it's like the writer just be like, oh, here's one example. Yeah, like of a, like, women empowerment, which is not actually what is happening.
No, because in the next scene, they're like, oh, she's in trouble. Someone save her. Like, they're, it's just...
Yeah, she gets captured and thrown in a tree.
That's a way she
there's a big battle and she's up in the tree the whole time.
Again, it seems like, oh no, we forgot she's in the scene. Throw her in the air.
So then they give her the last shot as like a thing, but it's like it just feels so forced.
Totally, yeah. Right. So that, because her character had been developed not at all prior to that. So
and also
like,
she knows how to do the...
like shoot the gun?
I don't know, I thought the space... It had a name, the space...
Space gun?
The space gun.
Okay. Right, so that climactic scene plays out where the bug is, he's ripped out of his Vincent D'Onofrio skin, and now he's a big cockroach dude, and he's trying to get up to the spaceship. Tommy Lee Jones, he's like, eat me, and then he eats him.
Funny.
So, the comedy in this movie, you guys.
I giggled.
So Tommy Lee Jones is like swimming around in the cockroach monster alien for like 5 minutes. Not drowning somehow. Will Smith is all like, oh, I'm going to stomp on your relatives. Finally, Tommy Lee Jones bursts out with his space gun. There's a moment where...
My mom's passing notes. Sam knows the answer.
The cricket.
The noisy cricket is the little one that Will Smith has. And then the big one was called... I'll get back to you.
Anyway, so the movie has, like, that one last moment where it's like, oh, no, the alien's not dead, and he goes to pounce on him, and then Dr. Weaver's like, nuh-uh, not today. And, and shoots the alien dead again, and then she said something like, interesting job you guys have. And then we're all supposed to be like, you go girl, except no, because her character fucking sucks.
Like, 90s movies are riddled with you go girl moments like this. So, and I feel like the only reason they're in there is that, like, there's some studio meeting where they're like, wait, but how are we gonna sell shit to girls about this movie? And they're like, oh, let the lady kick one time and have her say, look, I can kick too. And then we'll put a flower on a t-shirt, we'll throw the lady's face on it, $5 million.
Yeah. And obviously
disgusting.
It would have been fine for her to like kick it. In fact, I would have preferred her to do more ass kicking throughout the movie. Except she's just only given that one moment.
It's all utilitarian. Like, it's just
No time was spent developing her character whatsoever. Which is crazy because they set it up that she's gonna be the next man in black.
They even have Will Smith dressed up like Morpheus. At the end.
Oh, yeah. Wait, he's got new sunglasses?
Yeah.
And they're, I guess, cooler than the other ones?
He's got the Morpheus look.
So the last scene of this movie is really funny, because it's like, okay, it's Will Smith's second day, he's in charge now. And then there's he walks towards Dr. Weaver, and it's her first day as a man in black. And she's wearing this suit, and she looks dope. And as Will Smith's walking over to her, she, like, says loudly a government secret, and it's like
Dennis Rodman's an alien.
And it's like, oh, they're both bad at this. Everyone's like,
do they say in the second one why they got rid of her?
I'm trying to figure that out now because the second one, if you don't know, 2002. And Tommy Lee Jones is just in it again.
What was it called?
Men in Black 2.
That was my my first guess, but I don't want to sound like a fucking idiot.
But the poster... the poster is... Men. And then two Roman numeral eyes, black. So it looks like men... Too black.
Which is the name of my Boyz II Men cover band.
Oh my, Nick Cannon is in Men in Black 2.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like one of the young guns.
I didn't know. This is like Drumline era Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
Not like scary wizard Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
This is Nick Cannon today. It's very scary.
Men in Black 2 also has Michael Jackson.
Really?
What?
I don't know if I've ever seen Men Too Black.
That should be.
He wants to be an agent, and he just keeps
Michael
calling
Michael Jackson
him
as Agent Cam.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart as herself.
Is she an alien?
No, she's as herself.
As an alien, I think.
Oh.
Can I confirm?
I get it.
Yeah, she is an alien.
She's.
I know it.
I love this movie.
It was like my favorite movie for like 2 years. It's between 97 to 99.
Well, a discourse moment.
Okay.
This is the sort of movie where people like it. It's a good movie. People don't necessarily think about, oh, you know, it takes a second before you're like, oh, there are no women in this movie. That is strange. We're in a major metropolitan area and there's no women.
Right. There's like we could like I said, we could have seen any of the recruits could have been like, I don't know, half of them could have been women. There are women in the military.
I fucking hate misogyny.
Thanks,
we're
Sam.
Use that as a poll. Put that on the website.
Yeah, in alien women. There
exactly.
Could have been some of them.
They only have the pregnant one.
Oh,
that's the only alien woman.
I forgot about the pregnant lady visual gag.
Right, that's the only alien woman you see in it, right?
That's another...
With the
insane moment where Tommy Lee Jones goes up to the car and then he's like, what's going on here? And he's like, my wife's having a baby. And then Tommy Lee Jones looks in the back and is like, oh yeah, there's a woman giving birth. Like there's...
Yeah.
What? Interesting. I think, you know, that's a bold visual gag.
It's broad daylight. Movie.
Yeah. She's screaming.
Yeah. I did not see that.
It is not an easy birth.
And she's giving birth to a fucking squid. And like squid things are coming out. Like how do you not notice?
It's essentially tentacle porn.
I mean, I have conflicting feelings about that scene, because on one hand, it's like, a women's issue is made out to be a joke.
Okay, yeah.
But also, childbirth is terrifying, so I'm like, yeah, I get it.
I'd love to give birth to a squid someday.
Let's just move on right from that and not talk about it any further.
It's also weird how, like, all the men in black are, because they have the suit, they automatically know how to do everything. Like, it's always like, okay, hey, just walk in there and tell them you're a doctor, because they're going to believe you because you're a man in a suit. And then they just they don't show any badges or anything. They just walk right in. And
that's
it's just like,
true, yeah.
I fucking hate men.
Yeah, they just walk in, they're like, hey, I'm good at something.
They just go ahead and tell people that.
Seems legit. I'm like, what? And I just like pointed my vagina on accident.
And then if you dare question them or don't believe them, they have a gaslighting stick to be like, yeah,
I'm good at things. I got this at Burger King. this is a triumph for young boys trying to learn how to convince women of less.
Yeah. Do we want to talk at all about the other female character, Beatrice?
Oh, yeah, I mean, what's there to say?
The first scene, you don't even see her. You just hear her getting yelled at.
Right, yeah, he's like verbally abusing her.
Right.
And then he comes in, he's like, sugar. water, sugar, sugar. And she's just like, okay, I'm a domestic person. That's all I could do. And then she gives
Vincent
him a bunch
of... Vincent D'Onofrio and sugar water. Okay. And then she just like...
Will you do the sugar water thing? That was hilarious.
When he's like, sugar. You're not the only one who can do the impression.
I didn't get this email that we were supposed to arrive with a
I mean, she's like dumb as rocks, and
major idiot alert.
Yeah,
written by Ed Solomon. To be clear, every time we criticize a female character, we're actually thinking about throwing Ed Solomon, whoever that is, off a building.
Right.
He co-wrote the first Charlie's Angels, I think, and he might have wrote Titans A.D.
He wrote Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the Men in Black movies, the Charlie's Angels movies, and some X-Men movies.
Super Mario.
Good for him. He started as a staff writer for Laverne and Shirley, which honestly, like, there's no excuse. Like, you have written for female characters before. You just are actively like, does the world really need women?
How come?
I would expect better from the person who wrote the best Lucy Liu movie ever.
Why is it called Charlie's Angels? Why can't it just be like, three kick-ass ladies who don't belong to anyone except themselves?
Like a little short
lunchbox, yeah.
No, I think that's a fine title.
Unsurprisingly, most of the people involved in the production of this movie are men. There is a female producer on the movie, but it's directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed Get Shorty, various Addams Family movies.
Big Trouble.
Big
Trouble with Tim Allen. It was it was a movie about a bomb on an airplane. It was supposed to come out. Its release date was supposed to be September 12th, 2011.
2001?
It got pushed back.
2001.
Yeah, so the year that the year the thing happened. You know. So it was that year.
Not good.
He directed that one. And the Robin Williams vehicle, RV.
So another movie that is, feminist icon, Barry Sonnenfeld.
Can I say, though, that Danny Elfman's score to this movie is, like, my favorite score.
It's really good.
Of, not all time, but of a movie about...
The bug?
So good.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman will be spared.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be spared. Because we need a new theme song. This movie made $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a summer blockbuster that did really well. It was made by men. There's only men in it. One lady's in it, but she has to point at her vagina and has to wear a skirt and also is bad at being a man in black.
Yeah.
You can tell at the end, you're like, oh yeah, she's unqualified. Like, she's... as is Will Smith.
He's had one day on the job.
Right.
Does anyone have any other final points about the movie?
It's a great film. Some issues. Got some issues.
Sure.
The best out of the three of the Men in Black. We were talking about the second one, so I forget we didn't mention that there was a third.
That's
the one I think time travel happens.
Yeah, that's the Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
They go like, I think they go to like the 60s and they go back and then it's like back forth, something like that. It's like it's a time jump.
Was that one straight to video or did it come
out? That had a theatrical release.
2012,
yeah. It was like if you put the Terminator plotline with Men in Black.
Which should be a winner. That sounds like a great movie.
It was sad. Did you see it?
No.
No.
Oh, God. It's so sad. Did you see it? Yeah. Did you cry? It's so sad at the end.
It was a touching moment at the end.
Dude, it's It's fucking sad, man. Yo, I cried so hard at the It's like as sad as the first 20 minutes of Up. Like, it's that sad. Like, it's that sad.
That's a
stretch. Yo, that's the saddest thing. You have to, the ending is just like,
does Tommy Lee Jones, you don't care, does Tommy Lee Jones die?
No, what happens is you find out that Will Smith's father sacrificed his life to save Tommy Lee Jones, and Tommy Lee Jones has been, like, secretly watching Will Smith this whole time. And then you see at the end, you see Will Smith as a child hunched over his dead father's body, and then
Tommy Lee Jones is there?
Yeah, because this is in the 60s. And so he fucking neuralizes Will Smith as a kid, and it's just like, it is an absolute boner killer. Like, it is the saddest fucking thing.
I know, right, Mrs. Loftus? It's fucking sad.
The what?
The jackhammer? Is that the gun?
What? The jackhammer? Oh, the gun! I forget. It had like a science-y name, because the joke was Tommy Lee Jones says a science-y name, and then he goes, noisy cricket. And that's like the joke.
Oh my goodness. Are you just going to like look up? Bananas. I think Sam's my new daddy.
Should we?
First on the cast. We've never gotten new daddies before.
No. Because we have a live audience, should we open it up to any questions or?
What do you want?
Oh, okay. We'll start here.
Oh wait, come up.
Oh sure.
Hi, friends. Hi, Ayala. I was wondering if you were to recast the lead roles with women, how would you recast them?
Ooh, all female.
Are we going today, or are we doing in 97?
97! We said it 100
times! I don't know. What do you guys want to do?
I'm going to go with today's people. I would do, like, Zendaya as Will Smith's character. Because I would cast her in anything.
Tommy Lee Jones, I want Laura Dern.
That's good.
Yeah. I want Laura Dern to neuralize a tiny Zendaya. When her mommy dies.
I would love Julianne Moore and Ali Wong. I think that would be a fun.
Whoa.
That would be a
what
fun.
What a pairing!
Who's like a Rip Torn's character? I feel like we need a
Alfred Molina qualifies for an all female reboot. He transcends gender. He's so talented.
Tilda Swinton would be great as Vincent D'Onofrio's character.
Yeah.
I would love that. Alright, let's just do that.
Okay.
Let's just make that move.
Let's just start a GoFundMe.
It worked for Super Troopers, too.
It did. Any other questions?
We have some more questions, yeah.
Hi, I'm Kyle. Off of the Tilda Swinton point, apparently they almost cast her as Pennywise in the most recent It. Would have been way better casting.
Whoa.
Anyway, the point I was going to make was, have any of you seen Under the Skin, because ScarJo is a great female alien protagonist?
Oh. I haven't seen it. I just want to declare.
As a woman... I have not seen
it. No. Yeah. So, sorry. But we will. We will watch it.
And we'll write that down. Any other questions?
So Lara Flynn Boyle was Dr. Raver's character, and I was just wondering, is she still alive?
She is.
I wasn't trying to be stupid. I was
wait, that's...
Yeah, she is. I got her...
Laura Phil. Right?
She was... I mean, yeah, but that was a while ago. She could have died since then.
She was Sarlena in the second one. She was the baddie. It was her, and she had Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville was her, like, number two.
So great to see him getting work.
You know, I was reading Chris O'Donnell, who was Robin in the Schumacher Batman.
Don't get her started on Schumacher!
Great director, very talented!
I love Tigerland.
I love Phantom of the Opera, 2004.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That one I didn't see. Is
Gerard
it, it's
Butler
great.
Sucks. As a Phantom of the Opera, he could not be worse.
I read on IMDb that Chris O'Donnell was almost Will Smith's character. It was Chris O'Donnell, David Schwimmer, and Will Smith were the three. And I think if one of those two guys had gotten it, him and Linda Florentino would have kissed at the end of the movie. And I think because it was, I think that big of a budget of a movie, they weren't going to have an interracial kiss.
Oh, interesting.
For 90, I mean, 97, that...
Yeah.
That checks out on that.
Yeah,
my mom is what is my mom doing?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it should have been okay, and they didn't think it would go.
I love interracial relationships. I'm a fan.
Oh my god, so close.
My mom is literally just telling Sam she's single. We don't need to go over your relationship status right now. I'm literally in the fetal position.
In the same way.
Find the end of a movie, like in Gone with the Wind. They didn't know if they were going to go Franklin.
What are you talking about?
Gone
with the Wind was the Civil War.
Any other questions? Yes.
I just wanted to say, I don't think it's come up yet, that Caitlin has a master's degree from screenwriting.
Thank you. She has so much degrees. You know that I hate to bring it up. Thanks for being the one to bring it up. I do. And we are in Boston. Yeah. So, any BU kids out here? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. So, shout out to my BU heads.
BU heads.
Hell yeah.
BU Con.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
Our sponsor today.
Hey, let's talk about whether or not this movie passes the Bechdel test. No.
Well, nothing to add.
There aren't even like two women in the same room at any point.
We have like near like where Keira Knightley talked to a lady. We think she had a name. Did she say something? Oh, I guess Pirates of the Caribbean is a bad movie. This one, there's not even the potential.
No.
There's no discussion to be had.
Right.
It doesn't pass.
But let's rate the movie. On our nipple scale!
We rate every movie on our nipple scale, 5 nipples total. You can attribute the nipples to whoever you want, but the nipples are on the merit of how well the movie treats women, not how much you like the movie.
Right, so I'm going to give the movie, like a half nipple, because the portrayal of women is laughable. They get almost no screen time. There's 2 female characters as opposed to dozens of men speaking roles in the movie, and they're
like
so
human, alien,
all different types of men.
Yeah,
and
the spectrum of men is represented.
Right, but very few women, and the ones that we do see are so poorly developed that it's frankly embarrassing. So it rates very poorly on our nipple scale, and the half nipple that I'm giving it does belong to Orion the cat. Don't forget that cats do have 8 nipples. This has been Cat Facts with Caitlin.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? Meet the parents.
Yeah, I know the reference.
Speaking of amazing segue. I will also give this movie half a nipple, just because I want to give the nipple to something. It seems like a fun thing to do in a live show. Otherwise, I would give it no nipples. It's stupid. They take our one female character, then they have her say, girl power, and then they throw her in a tree. They just are battering her around like a ping pong ball. They're like, she has a job, but she has to look like a
Like, it just, it's stupid, bad, not for, for women, but a fun movie and worth your time. I'll give half my half nipple to pregnant backseat tentacle lady. She needs two, but I don't have two to give her. Sam?
I give the movie a half nipple, despite it being a wonderfully done sci-fi, comedy, action, buddy movie, and it's an enjoyable romp for kids and old people alike. I would say, ultimately, its portrayal of women was paper thin, and that's being generous, and I just expect more from movies that I think that should be acceptable to everybody, should also represent the world that we live in. And
it sounds so, like you're joking.
I genuinely mean that, so I give a half nipple, and I give it to Linda Florentino for, you know, just doing the best that she could, you know?
Mm-hmm. Being given.
Because then after that, she had to do.
Fabric.
Yeah. Because then after that, she had to do Dogma. That seemed like a long shoot.
Ooh. Directed by feminist icon Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, that is a Kevin Smith movie.
Good years for her. Oh, poor woman. And then she turned 40 and was, sent away.
Yeah. But I want to point out that in Dogma, Alan Rickman doesn't have a dick. And anytime you see a man with no dick, it's a good day for me.
This is not going to be a fun way for us to end the podcast. We should have just ended it there. Have you seen the movie with Patrick Wilson and Ellen Page where she cuts his dick?
Oh, yeah. Hard Candy?
Hard Candy. If Patrick Wilson shines. It's like she's really... And she's like... Ellen Page is like 4 years old, and she's just like, I'm going to sign your dick off. And it's like, it's the greatest movie of all time. Highly recommend watching Patrick Wilson get castrated over and over.
Yeah.
I watched it with my dad.
Underrated performance by Sandra Oh in that film as well.
Ooh,
she's
yeah,
the neighbor.
She
she's great. Sideways.
Yeah.
She's a Sideways
also
as well.
Sideways.
I realized after I said that statement about her in Hard Candy, I was like, oh, I don't have another statement.
In conclusion, Sideways.
Sam, thank you.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't Lara Flynn Boyle. I'm sorry.
That is quite all right.
It's on that, though.
Yeah. Sam, thank you so much for being here. Give it up for Sam!
He's literally my father.
Where can people find you online and follow you?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at TheSamMike. Sam Ike. This is my Twitter handle.
Great. You can follow us at BechdelCast on Twitter and Instagram, and you can go to our website, BechdelCast.com.
It's soon going to say, I don't like men. Sam Ike. Comma, feminist icon.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much again to Improv Boston and
yes,
the Boston Comedy
it?
Arts Festival for hosting us. And thanks for coming out, and see you some other time.
Yeah, see you later.